The Books is the name of an experimental duo that spent the last decade making music based on samples, snippets of audio that they chop up and rearrange. Sample-based music is nothing new, but the way The Books do it is. They've just released their fourth album. It's called The Way Out, and Jacob Gans paid them a visit.
The circumstances that brought the two men in The Books together are a lot like the music they make. Oh, oh, oh. Both rely on large doses of randomness and luck and chemistry. Ten years ago, Nick Zamuto met Paul DeYoung when a mutual friend discovered that the two lived in the same New York City building. DeYoung invited Zamuto and his wife over for dinner.
And I noticed he just had this stack of mini discs. It was very mysterious, just lined up against his wall. And I'm like, what is that? And he's like, oh, those are my reference materials.
Those mini discs held sound that DeYoung had collected from various sources over many years. Zamuto was making his own field recordings, and the pair started working together immediately, matching DeYoung's found sound with Zamuto's guitar, turning sampled clicks and whirs into percussion. Just 2 weeks after meeting, they finished their first song. They named it Enjoy Your Worries, You May Never Have Them Again.
Eagle!
I think in the first track, almost all the elements that we're still working with are there.
Paul DeYoung.
The found sound and our instruments and the fact that we recorded pretty unassumingly in our apartments with the window open and you hear a crow in the background and it all becomes part of the music, and that's, I think, created our sound right there.
This would eventually be the first song on their first record, which was called, in typically chopped up and rearranged fashion, Thought for Food.
Myself, April, Tammy, and Brad.
Zamuto studied chemistry in college and taught himself music theory. DeYoung was born in Rotterdam, in the Netherlands. He grew up in a, quote, musical family and learned to play the cello when he was young. There are elements of contemporary classical, sample-based electronic, and folk in The Books' recordings, says Mark Richardson, the managing editor of the music website Pitchfork. He reviewed each of the band's first three albums for the site and says The Books don't quite sound like anyone else.
Their music is very easy to appreciate immediately because they use pretty sounds. It's not harsh or noisy. There's a lot of space. And there's ringing guitars. There's cello. It's melodic. But it's also hard to put a finger on, and I think there's this in-between spaces aspect to The Books that I find really appealing.
The band has carved not only its own sound, but a particular way of creating music. DeYoung, the collector, and Zamuto, the composer, only use audio from analog sources, video or audio cassettes or LPs they find by raiding thrift stores while they're on tour. Nothing from the internet, nothing that their listeners would be likely to find on their own. It's all stored in the studio in Paul DeYoung's house. A large room filled with photographs, musical instruments, books, records, and, in the corner, a computer that houses the single most important element of the book's sound.
What you're looking at is a screen where it has all the files of sources that I've been cutting down.
DeYoung's sample library, much bigger now than a pile of mini discs against the wall.
The sound library now has 35,000 individual named samples, and it's growing at a staggering rate. I have hundreds and hundreds of uncut hours of sound that I'm working on every day. That we've never seen before.
Meditation instructions from self-help tapes, single bass guitar notes, conversations between a parent and child, all cataloged and precisely named so DeYoung can locate sounds and group them according to theme.
it really is irrelevant who the originator is of the recording. What is relevant is that there is a universal humanity.
That human connection is important to the process as well as the music. De Young now lives at the northern edge of the Hudson Valley in New York. Zamuto lives an hour farther north on a wooded hillside in rural Vermont. And though they could easily send digital files back and forth over the internet, they still meet once a week, halfway between their houses, to talk about their progress, how samples are grouped together, what music they might inspire, before they return home to keep working. Take the sample that forms the backbone for the song 30 Incoming from the group's new record. It's a series of messages pulled from a single answering machine cassette that the pair found in a thrift store.
Hello, Mary. Call to wish you a good evening and wish you a good rest.
I knew that that was a beginning to a song.
Zamuto says that the sound of the voices on the tape gave him clues to the emotional tone of the song.
Mary, I would whip Bob Good. He ain't no Alexander Graham Bell on his telephone.
But his musical inspiration came from what might seem like a throwaway element.
The idea that I had was to actually use the dial tone as an actual musical instrument.
Sitting in his studio, in a shed behind his farmhouse, Zamuto demonstrates how he ran the dial tone through a filter that created a pulsating effect, then matched the tone of the tone to De Young's cello. He added guitar, played with a tremolo effect, to give it the same wobbly feel as the processed dial tone. A complicated, driving drum pattern. And his own multi-tracked voice. To bring the whole song together.
Hey, Robert, you get your dog house built?
Zamuto says when he first listened to the sample that anchors 30 Incoming, it struck him as a sincere, moving, intimate moment. But others who listened thought it was creepy. And that gap, he says, is actually an important element in the book's music.
Just by placing two disparate elements next to each other, they immediately start a conversation as your brain tries to wrap itself around their relationship. And I think it's your mind itself that creates that relationship in a lot of ways. That's what the music is about, because I think it's the ability for the mind to, you know, given any two things, your brain will just fill in the gap. And we're always interested to see how big we can make that gap before it falls apart.
Mary, I would whip Bob Good. He ain't no Alexander Graham Bell on his telephone.
What's happening here? Are we eavesdropping on lovers? Are they alive? Dead? Are we listening to the beginning of a story? The end? Is it a conversation, a performance, the deconstruction of the human voice into musical tones and cues? Are we just notes on a scale? You fill in the gaps. For NPR News, I'm Jacob Gans.
You can hear samples of the book's music and learn more about how the band finds its sounds at nprmusic.org. And for Saturday, that's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz. We're back tomorrow night. Until then, thanks for listening, and have a great night.